Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Amen. It will be awesome. Amen. Can you hear me now? Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for our audio-video ministry. Amen. 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 The scripture that we read was Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Amen. Very, very familiar. There's a storm. There's a storm that's coming, and Jesus calms the storm. Amen. I'm going to read for the sake of time two verses, verses 37 and verse 38. Amen. Although the whole story, you'll find it 35 through 41, I'm going to read two verses, 37 and 38. Amen? Are you ready? How about this? How about you read it along with me? Amen? It says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Amen. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time and this moment. God, thank you for who you are and for what you do, Father. It's preaching time, God, and we ask that you would allow your word to be shared in a way that you would have it to be done. Open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds, that we would receive what thus saith the Lord. Father, allow this word to be shared in a way that's pleasing to you. Father, we need you. We can't make it without you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. May be seated. If you're taking notes and you're writing down a title for today's sermon, the title for today is "What If?" What if? What if? What if? It's crazy when you really think about it. Because I think by asking the question, "What if?" I think that sort of qualifies everybody in the room. I think everybody here today has had some point in their life where they've said, "What if?" Is there anybody here that's never asked that question, "What if?" Amen, amen. What if? What if? What if? It's amazing how much power lies within that little statement of "what if." It's amazing how much stuff that little statement of "what if" can bring upon us. It's looked at in a negative way. What if I lose my job? What if I lose my house? What if my relationship falls apart? What if I get diagnosed with a terrible disease? What if this happens? It brings forth anxiety. It brings forth fear. It brings forth worry. What if? What if? What if? I think it's a statement that the enemy uses a lot of times to throw us off. What if? What if this happens? What if this happens? And sometimes we can find ourselves in a season of living through big what ifs. And during this whole season, we deal with all of those things. Anxiety, fear, and worry. What if this happened? Oh my gosh, this could happen. What if this could... And then if we really look at it in the reality of it, the majority of those what ifs never come to pass. They never come to pass. And so we walk around in this perpetual state of what if, but the reality is that none of those what ifs happen. What if? What if? What if? But what actually did go on during that whole time is that the enemy kept us in a place where we might not have stepped somewhere else because we were so worried, or we had the anxiety, or we were so scared to go into this place of what if. Let's see, Friday was Veterans Day. And so Veterans Day went up to, Pilot Mountain? Went up to Pilot Mountain with Journey Ministries. And so I had six kids, ages 14, I think the oldest was 16. And we went rock climbing. And so anybody that knows me knows that I'm an adventurous person. So when I was in Jamaica, I jumped off the cliff. I went zip lining. I got a little sore right here on top of my head where I was doing flips off a trampoline in the ocean and hit my head in the sand and doing all kinds of stuff. And so when they said we were going rock climbing, I was like, yeah, rock climbing. That's me. I'm ready. And so it was about 50 feet up, rock climbing. And so we had these kids, and we had a couple of kids that were scared of heights. Scared of heights. And so what happens is that they go through all of this little quick training. You have on this harness, you have on this helmet, you're tied in with this rope, you have special shoes that you wear and all kinds of stuff. And they show you how there's anchors in the rock that it actually is going to hold you up, and you actually have somebody, as you're tied to the rope, you actually have somebody on the other end of the rope, so that as you're getting pulled up, there's somebody making sure that they're holding you, and there's all kinds of safety measures in place. So in other words, all of those things are there so that you can just have fun in rock climbing. The kids looked back after all of that, and they was like, Lord, but what if? But what if? You're rock climbing on the side of a mountain. Fall. You're going to fall on rock. Even if you fall on rock and you're okay and have a couple of bumps and bruises, you can still roll off the mountain. But Lord, what if? And so as I watched these kids put on their harnesses, I already knew, look, if you let me go first, I'm ready. I can go ahead and do it. But the kids were little hesitant. This one girl named Lillian. Lillian went up on the rock, and she was like, "No, I'm not going. I'm scared." And so when it came her time, I was like, "Okay, Lillian, you're up." And she went ahead and she went up to the rock and she started to climb. And Lillian's almost my height. She has long arms, long legs, and I'm like, "Lillian," I said, "use what you got to your advantage. You have long arms, you have long legs, there's places you can reach that other folk can't reach that you can grab and pull yourself up and use your legs to help push you up, and as you push up, then grab with your arms to another place and going up." So she started going up, and she got about 4 feet up, and she was like, "Okay, wait a minute." She's like, wait a minute. I said, "Lillian," I said, "look, I can touch your ankle. You still right here. You gotta go 50 feet. Lillian was scared. But Lillian made it all the way to the top. She made it all the way to the top. And folk would think, okay, that's the hard part. When you get up there. And what they want you to do is they want you to go up there and to know that you've made it to the top, you're supposed to smack this buckle that's up at the top. So I said, "Lillian, I guess you got to smack the buckle." So she smacks the buckle. And they say, "Okay, Lillian, it's time to come down." What? "Lillian, it's time to come down." Anybody here ever went rock climbing before? Anybody went rock climbing? You went rock climbing before? You remember how to come down? Or you have to climb down, right? So she said there's a way that you got to push off and you got to come down or you got to climb down, what do you say? Okay, and so what they're describing is called rappelling. Rappelling is how you come down. And when you rappel, so when you come down, we know that here on earth we have this thing called what? Gravity. And it's going to pull us down. And so what the person had to do, and I'm not going to stand up in a chair. I really don't like when ministers do that kind of stuff. But you stand in a chair and you put your hand on the rope. And you got to lean back. You got to lean back and you have to trust the person that's on the ground to let you down slowly. And as you come down slowly, you have to keep your legs straight. You have to keep your legs apart and you have to keep your feet flat on the rock to be able to come down. And so as they let you down, as you say, you can push off and they can let you down a lot and you can come down. Or they can just let you down slow. And so what we were doing is we were letting them down slow. In other words, she had to let go of all the stuff that she was holding on to, all the other kind of stuff. And she had to just lean back and trust the person below. And she had to trust the rope. That the rope, because the person below could do everything they were supposed to do. But if the rope was to break, Lillian, it's time to come down off the rock. But what if I fall? But what if y'all don't catch me? But what if the rope breaks? But what if they can't hold me? But what if? But what if? But what if? And so for a while, Lillian was at the top of the rock crying out, what ifs? And then I said, well, let me turn this around. Lillian, what if you lean back? And we got you. What if you lean back and you come on down and it's all fun? And so to make part of this story short, she finally leaned back. She came on down. Some other folk went. And then Lillian got up and said, I want to go again. And she climbed again. And she went all the way to the top again. And we didn't have to remind her what to do to come down this time. She just grabbed the rope and leaned back and started to come on down. Our life is like that. We live in what ifs all the time. Anxiety, fear, and worry. If you haven't written those three things down, anxiety, fear, and worry. Amen. So this story here in Mark that Jesus is talking about, there's a storm. There's a storm that comes up, and after Jesus has done some things, says, look, we're going out in this ship. Some other ships came and follow him, as they go out in the ship. Jesus, I'm tired. Jesus, he's God. He's God and man all wrapped into one, but he still has flesh that's tired. He says, I need to get some rest. So I'm going to go lay down in the bottom of the ship, and as I lay down in the bottom of the ship, The storm came. Now here they are on the ship with Jesus. They on the ship with Jesus and a storm comes. Verse 37. First part of verse 37. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. Anybody ever went sailing before? Dr. Williams and I, when we were in Jamaica, we got on a boat, and it's a glass bottom boat. And so there's an island right off of Jamaica. And the thing was that you can get on this boat and you can travel out to this island. And when you get out to this island, they had fresh lobster. And they would take the lobster, they'd cut it in half, and they'd cook it right there on the grill in front of you. And, oh my gosh, it was so good. It was so good. It was so good. But Dr. Williams, I couldn't get him in the water. I said, come on out here in the water. I'm swimming, you know, I'm doing all. I said, man, come on out here in the water. He's like, nah, I'm good. You go right ahead. But the strip came up. And so as I was talking to the guy with the boat, they pull a boat right up there to the beach. I said, look, man, get the boat as close as you can. I said, because he doesn't want to go in the water. But he got in the water. He got on the boat. And we go out on the boat, and we're traveling out into the water. And then we get to this area that's a reef. And the Jamaican guy says, his name was Demonic. Demonic, I think that was his name. Demonic. And he says, hey, he says, we're by this reef. You want to go snorkeling? I said, yeah, man, I'll jump out in the water. I'm going to do it. I said, yeah, man, I'll jump out in the water. I'll go snorkeling. So I put on my little fins. I put on my stuff, and I jump in the water. And, you know, got the little snorkel, and, you know, you blow it out. You take a big breath, and you go down, and it was like hundreds of fish, all kinds, all beautiful, beautiful reef, all kinds of stuff, which was great. But as being a Navy diver, I also know if there's little fish like that around, there's also stuff to eat that kind of fish. So I looked around, I said, hey, those fish are great. Kept looking around, hey, Doc, why don't you come in and jump in the water? Nope, I'm good. So I think I probably snorkeled probably about maybe 30 minutes to an hour. I don't really know how much time it was. But when I got back on the boat, Doc was ready to get to land. Because while I was in the water swimming, the boat was rocking. The boat was rocking. It had a glass bottom, and I swam across the glass bottom. Hey, man, how you doing? All that other kind of stuff. But the boat was rocking. And so as the boat began to rock, you know, it got a little. And so if you've ever been on a rocky boat like that, and if you can't swim, or if you have a fear or an anxiety about water, that's not really the best feeling in the world, especially when we were on the glass bottom boat, because he could look and he could see how far we were. And although the water there in Jamaica was clear, it might have looked like it was real close, but the glass that's on the bottom of the boat is really a magnifying glass. So it might have looked like we were in 10 or 15 feet of water, but we were really in about 60 feet of water. And so there's a big what if. And so there's anxiety that's attached to that what if. And we got to be careful of anxiety. But over in Philippians, amen. Turn over, write that down. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Over in Philippians, amen. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 through 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. In other words, when anxiety hits us and it comes upon us, what we need to do is we need to resort to prayer. Prayer. Anybody here ever had an anxiety attack before? Ever been in a situation where something hits you and you're like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh? Prayer. Prayer. Prayer is the thing that will calm down your anxiety. Prayer is the thing that will change your situation. Does not Scripture tell us that prayer changes things? And so now in my anxiety, and now what I got, I got somebody else that I can lean back on. Scripture says that it will surpass all of my understanding, because my understanding as I see my situation is an anxiety. But as I surpasses my understanding, I lean back on God. It doesn't make sense that I should just lean back and let go. But as I get past my understanding of it all, and I get past my anxiety, and I pray, and I say, God, you got it. You got it. You made this water. You made this boat. You made it. You made all of this. And so, God, you got it. And so as we deal with the what if of anxiety, what is our answer to that? Prayer. Prayer. Scriptures tell us, pray. Pray about it. Give it over to God. What if anxiety? Imagine the anxiety. What if Jesus became so anxious, so that anxiety just hit him when it was time to go to the cross? And what if you say, because of the cross, I just can't. What if? Don't let anxiety keep you from fulfilling God's will. Amen? What if? Anxiety. Another thing we'll look at in this same verse, 37, we'll look at fear. Fear. The B part of 37, the latter part of verse 37. It says, so that it was now full. Now, when we read this and it says that it was now full, I guess it really couldn't have been all the way full, because if Jesus was in the hinder part at the bottom of in the back of the bottom of the ship sleeping on the pillow and the water was full, I mean, he wouldn't be asleep up on the water, right? So I guess it wouldn't have been full, but the water was beating up enough on it the ship was starting to take water on. And so now I'm anxious because of this storm. I'm anxious now because my situation isn't pleasant. I'm anxious now because my situation isn't the way that I want it to be. Just like as a storm comes up, I'm anxious now because there's some stuff happening. It might have got a little bit dark. I might now hear some thunder. There might be some lightning. There's waves, and now I'm rocking, and stuff isn't steady. As we go through life, we're going to have those moments. And so now I'm anxious, but now not only am I anxious, but now I'm starting to see the effects of the storm. I'm starting to see the effects of the situation come upon my life. And so now I'm just not hearing thunder. Now I'm just not seeing lightning. Now the lightning is actually striking something. Now I'm just not hearing the rain and the water, but now the rain is actually starting to flood. And now I got some stuff going. So now I'm fearful, because now the boat is starting to take water on. What if we sink? What if we out here, and what if we take on water and we sink? So now here's this big what if. How many people know the storms are going to come? It's part of the natural flow of nature to have a storm. If we never had rain, you'd be praying for rain. Amen? And so it's part of it. If you don't believe me, just ask somebody that live in the western part of the state of North Carolina, where they're having now all the fires and all that. Why are they having the fires? Because they haven't had any rain. Praying for rain. And so praying for a storm. But now the fear comes in and says, oh my gosh, now we're going to flood and we're going to go through. But let's look at another scripture that will help us with fear. Turn over to the Old Testament and in the book of Isaiah. Amen. Isaiah chapter 41. Amen. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not. What is it do I have to fear when I got God? Here they were on the ship. They got Jesus. Well, I'm going to call on them. We were now taking in water. What if I got Jesus? My what if of fear just changed to my what if of victory. I'm good to go. I got Jesus. I could call upon him. So what? I'm taking on water. We got Jesus. The scripture says, doesn't ever tell us that the water that they took on, that they had to scoop it out. The ship took on water, but they had Jesus. What is it do I have to fear in my situation as long as I have Jesus? Enemy, why are you trying to trick me with fear? Because I got Jesus. And so if I lose my job, I got Jesus. If my relationship gets, I got Jesus. If my situation just falls apart, I still have Jesus. And so my what if, I'm going to be good. I'll be okay. It'll work out just fine Because I got Jesus. So what is it that I have to fear? God says, fear not. I'm with you. I will strengthen you. I'll use my own right hand of righteousness to be right there with you. I got it. As a believer, I don't need to be anxious about anything. No matter what the situation looked like, God is still in control. We talk about that in Sunday school. God is still in control. He's still in control of it all. It can fall apart. He's still in control of it. Not to be anxious about nothing. I'm scared. Okay. As they were climbing up the rock and as they was, Pastor, I'm scared. It's okay to be scared. But what I'm proud of you is that you wasn't so scared that you didn't put your harness on. That you wasn't so scared. See, there was another young lady named Amaya. The people that were in charge of the rock climbing said this was the first for them. Amaya had a baby with her. You know, in high school, how you had a little baby that you carry around, and the baby's got to be fed, and the baby's got to be changed. And so here we are going down the mountain, and the baby's just a whining, just a crying. There were some people, side note, there were some people walking by, and I was holding the baby. And I said, I wonder what would happen if I just dropped this baby right here, and the people walking by, they'd freaked out. But so Amaya had this baby. So this baby is whining and crying and doing all of this other kind of stuff. And it seems as though every time Amaya would get a baby to me, you know, I got a little bit of experience with babies. Every time she'd get a baby to me, I'd get the baby quiet. So Amaya, it was her turn. So I said, Amaya, give me the baby. And she says, but Pastor, I don't want to go. I said, Amaya, check this out. I said, you don't have to go all the way to the top. Because this exercise is not about you going to the top. What this exercise is you doing is about you not being a quitter. Because quitters never win. And winners never quit. So I need you to go on up there. I need you to go ahead and set a goal. I said, if your goal is going to be that first little cliff, that first little part, I said, I need that to be your goal. And I said, I need you to press to go right up there. So remember, I told you Lillian got up to a part. There was a little cliff. I could still reach there and touch her leg. And I said, honey, you right here. Amaya climbed up, and she got to that first cliff. And she says, I'm ready to come down. I said, well, Amaya, I said, you can come down if you want to. I said, but if you just made one more step, you'd actually go past what you had initially said you were going to do. You'll surpass your goal if you just make one more step. I'm scared. I don't know if I want to go. Amaya, the same things that held you, the same people that encouraged you, the same situation that allowed you to get to that one place is still here. And so if you can think back to a time that you were scared before, to a time that you didn't know how you was going to make it before, to a time that you didn't know how your situation was going to turn out before, but you went ahead anyway and you depended upon Jesus and Jesus went ahead and helped you through that, guess what? Your next time that you're scared, the same Jesus that helped you then, it's the same Jesus that can help you now to get past what it is you thought that you couldn't make it. But you got to still do like you did before. I got to depend upon him. Easy situation. I got a bill to pay. I can't pay a bill. I don't know how I'm going to make it past this bill. God showed up and showed out. He gave me either favor with the bill collector. He threw a check in my mailbox. He did whatever, but he allowed the situation to work out. And so if he did it then, I know that he can do it again. But here's the thing about it. What is it that I did? It wasn't anything that I did except trust in him. God, no matter how it is, you're still in control. And so whether you allow me to pay the bill or not, you're still in control. Whether you work it out that I get favor, you're still in control. God is still in control. Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship. The ship was being beat up by waves. They were starting to take on water. They started to call out on Jesus. Even in his sleep, he was still in control. Why do I know he was still in control? Because the scripture says that what he said is simply, hey, chill out. He spoke to the storm and said, hey, be still. Anxiety, fear. And the last thing we have is worry. Worry. Let's look at verse 38. Verse 38 says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Anybody ever been in a situation when you said, don't you care about what I'm going through? Anybody ever been in a situation, you share with somebody, you tell somebody what you're going through, and you wonder, don't somebody else care? Don't they see me over here struggling? Don't they see my situation of what I'm going? Doesn't anybody care? Anybody ever ask that question? Does anybody care? Does anybody care about me? If I was to die and be gone, would anybody care? Ever been in that place where you felt so alone? Does anybody care? I get. And this isn't picking on anybody, so please don't take this the wrong way. Please don't take this the wrong way. But as pastor, a lot of times folk have situations to go on, or they're not here in church, or whatever happens, and they say, well, pastor didn't call me, or I didn't hear from pastor, or whatever. Well, didn't pastor care? God is still in control of everything that goes on. We're limited as humans as far as understanding, but God knows everything. And he's in control. And I think sometimes he allows us to get in these places so that he can show us some different things. Doesn't anybody care? Let's look at scripture deal with worrying. Turn over to John chapter 14. Amen. John chapter 14. Verse number 27. John chapter 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Worry is not something that we as believers need to be caught up over. John 14, 27. Why? Because he says, look, I got it. I got it. No matter how bad the situation looks, I got it. The disciples knew, hey, the situation is out of my hands. What can I do? Call on who I know. Jesus. As believers, that's our situation. When wherever we're in, whatever we're in, call upon what you know, Jesus. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to, I don't have all the answers to everything. So a lot of times in my prayer, I say, God, your will. Your will, God, because I don't know. I don't know what's needed right now. I can do my best to try to comfort somebody, but God, I pray your will. As we were in hospice yesterday and praying over Sister Louise and praying over Lady Duke, my prayer was, God, your will. I don't want to be selfish and try to tell you to do something that falls outside of your will. Lord, your will. These are two women that I know that love the Lord. Two women that I know that, no, they didn't do everything right, but two women of God that I know that have lived 80 some years, done what, Lord, your will. If it be your will to heal them and bring them on out of it, then to God be the glory. But Father, if it's time, then it's time. To worry about it, what am I going to change? Is worrying going to make the situation any better? As a parent and you talk to your child, is worrying going to make it any better? It's not going to make it any better. What worrying will do will actually make it worse. Anxiety, I need to pray to God. Fear, I need to pray to God. Worried, I need to pray to God and put it in his hands because he'll take care of it all. Amen. What if during this particular 2016, what if a crazy man is elected? Lord, what we gonna do? What if a crazy woman is elected? What we gonna do? What if
this is repealed and this is taken away and the immigration stance and all of what if all of these different things? What if the economy fails? What if jobs mess up? What if this goes on? What if that goes on? What if injustice is all over the place? What if the martial law? What if? This is where we're living right now. What if? I don't know what's going to happen. Election just happened and somebody got elected and somebody got elected that might not have the views that I have and they might have different ideas on how they want to do whatever they want to do. Lord, what if? Can I share something with you? God is still in control. He's still in control. The person that you voted for might not have got elected. The person that you voted for might have got elected. So what? As a believer, I don't trust in the president. The president isn't my Lord and Savior. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I trust in him. That's who I lay my trust in. Although man loves me, although my mother loves me, I can't trust and throw everything on her shoulders because she's human just like me. There's things, believe it or not, this wonderful woman has fallen short in. I had to trust in him. That's what's going to make it. That's what's going to allow us to push on through. That's what's going to be the thing. So change your what if. Change your what if to he can. What if this happens? He can take care of that. But what if this goes on? He can take care of that too. But you don't understand, Pastor. What if? He can take care of that too. He's got every single bit of that. Because once I get in my mindset that nothing can happen without him allowing it to happen. Look. We can sit there and vote all day long. We can sit there and do that all day long. It's God that allows it to happen. Amen? It's God that has allowed everything that has transpired to go on. And it's okay. Because man isn't in control. God is. Amen? Last scripture. Proverbs. I said last scripture. It's actually two scriptures in Proverbs that I want to read to you. Proverbs chapter 4, 22. It says, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." What he's talking about here, if you look at verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." What that's basically saying is that words have power. If you walk around in a constant state of what if, you'll always be the what if person. You'll never be the person to say it was accomplished. You'll always walk around in a what if state. You'll always be boxed in by what if. But if you change your mindset to he can, words have power. I'm getting away from what if. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if it happens? Take your what if and put so in front of it. So what if? So what if? It'll make a difference. He's in control. And same in Proverbs 18:21, the last scripture. Proverbs 18:21. Very familiar. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of. Life and death are in your tongue. And so if you walk around and your conversation is always what if you mess around and you get caught up in these election results and all this other kind of stuff, and then you want to go home, or then you want to go to work, or wherever, and you want that to be the basis of your conversation, understand what you're setting yourself up for. When I was in Jamaica, there were people from England, there were people from Spain, there were people from all over. And that, you know, you'd go to different places to eat and you'd sit there and have these conversations. And once people found out you was from America, what are y'all got going on over there? What is happening with y'all's election? With all the people that y'all have, these are the two people that y'all came up with? Good gracious, what in the world? I mean, this was a conversation. They looked at us like we were animals behind a glass at a zoo. Like, what the world is wrong with y'all? Y'all are so different. You know, they looked at us that way. And all of our conversation, Dr. Williams, myself, and Dr. Williams' cousin, Veronica, all of our conversation was, you know, God's got it. However it turns out, hey, we all voted before we did early voting before we left. I cast my ballot. Everybody else passed their ballot, punched their ticket. And however it turns out, it's however it's going to turn out. All I know is that when I come back, there'll be a new president. And it's okay. My house is still going to be there. My family's still going to be there. The church is still going to be there. I plan on living my life the same way I was living it before I left. Having a desire, where is it at? Is it up there? Not up there. It's on your program. Having a desire to fulfill His will. That's how I'm going to live my life. His will is not the president's will. His will is God's will. Amen? So get away from the what if. Change your what if to so what if. He can. He can. He can. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. Come on, for the Lord, for the Lord. Amen. 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 It's personal decision time. It's personal decision time. And based upon it being personal decision time and hearing God's word here today, maybe you have found yourself, because we qualified the room and everybody was able to say, yeah, there's been a time in my life where I've been anxious. Yes, there's been a time in my life when I've been fearful. Yes, there's been a time in my life that I've worried. And if that's you, it's personal decision time. Maybe today you're in a place to say, look, I'm ready to change my what if to He can. I'm ready to change that. I'm ready to change it. I'm looking for something different. I'm looking for a better walk with Him. I'm worried about this what if. The enemy throws this what if. What if you came from this background? What if you're this nationality? What if your education is at this level? What if that you don't have as much in the bank as somebody? What if your house? What if your car? What if what if all of those different? So what? God is still in control. Maybe there's a situation in your life that you're looking at, and I don't know how I'm gonna. God is still in control. He can. It's not based upon our own strength. You try to walk out there and deal with it on your own, I don't think God's going to hold you back. You walk out there and try to deal with the situation on your own, I think God's going to say, look, okay, I told you, go right ahead. As a parent, your child gets to a certain age, and your child says, I want to do this and I want to do it my way. Although you've taught them, there's another way to do it. There's another way that's going to be a whole lot easier. You ain't going to have to go through a whole bunch of stuff. But I tell you what, if you want to go on out there and do it that way, I'm going to raise both of my hands. I got a witness. You want to go out there and do it your way all you want to? Okay, go ahead. Let me know how that turned out. If your personal decision today is that you found yourself caught up in the what if, you no longer want to be in the what if, you no longer want to walk around dealing with anxiety, you no longer want to walk around in fear, you no longer want to allow that situation to worry you, you're ready now to say, here's my situation, Lord. I've climbed, I've made it to the top. I'm ready just to lean on back now. Allow you to have the situation and allow you to take care of it. If that's your personal decision, would you come to the altar? We pray together. Amen. God bless.